T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, stop freaking out, all right? Just stop freaking. It's one game. One game. Man, this city, I love you. 45 years as a fan, it's one game. Morning to you, what up?
Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing this morning?
We know how they're doing. They're freaking out.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, I got a little bit of that on Twitter yesterday. I got a little bit of that. And, you know, it was a couple cats that, you know, we communicate kind of on a regular, and I was kind of surprised because they kind of jumped off the bandwagon as well. My man Eddie jumped off the bandwagon. Was like, oh, my gosh, this team is going to – I think he said something like, they're not going to win over 70 games. And I'm like, dude, it's one game. Now, granted. I had a little bit of that going too yesterday, because that first pitch that Julio Teheran threw to Andrew McCutchen, I was like, Holy Gee Willikers, Batman.
Is that what you said?
That ain't what I said. I put what I said on Twitter. I can't share it on the air. And you know
well,
me.
Well, you shared it on Twitter, though.
Yeah, I did. Because if you know me, you know normally I try to stay away from those grown-up words because, I know kids follow me and things of that nature. But good googly moogly, man. You know, we talked about the whole time how important it is to get off to a great start. And I remember I was here. Who was telling me that for Julio Teheran, it's always the first inning that gets him, and it's always like the first pitch that he's always like, it's the death knell for him. And I forgot who it was, but when I saw that, I was just like, God, like, wait, like, you kind of put yourself in a bad spot. You know, especially being up there in Philly, those fans were loud. You could hear them throughout the back. And I was just like, man. But after that, he settled down, and he was decent. He was good. He was good. I take that back. He was good.
You know, so a couple hours after the game ended, I tweeted, okay, waited for a while to say this. It's only one game, but it's one game that verifies all the concerns. And that's really that was the problem was, you know, Hugh, if they had lost, you know, because of, you know – I don't know. They lose an extra innings, or you know, they couldn't move. They had the bases loaded 3 times. They couldn't quite get a clutch hit or something. But it was the way it happened. I mean, I actually thought Teheran pitched fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
It was the bullpen and the top of the order, the two things that we focused almost all spring on. Hey, you're going to change the batting order. You're going to take Acuña out of the top spot, and Ender Inciarte was awful yesterday.
Yeah. That's what it was. But I will say this. No need to panic. There are things that you can adjust. Ronald Acuña looked good yesterday. He had some issues yesterday. He looked pretty decent. So it's the first game of the season. Middle relief is an issue. I think they kind of knew that. There's no question. John, there is no question. Who was the dude that hit the grand slam? I didn't even know. The first grand slam in his career. First. And I was like, dog, that was pretty bad. That's when you knew – it was okay to turn the TV, because this one right now, Paul Bird, I even saw Paul Bird. Paul Bird had a nice little suit on yesterday, too, when he was at the game. I don't know why, because usually he's in, like, his, you know, his sideline attire. But he had a suit on yesterday, so looking pretty good. But first game, out the gate, playing in Philadelphia. Tough place to play yesterday. That was a tough place to play.
Sure it was.
You know, everybody's excited about Bryce Harper doing that. The good thing about it, though, Bryce Harper didn't do a whole lot. That's the positive that you take out of that. But again, get a day off, get a chance to see what you did wrong, correct some of your mistakes, and come out there and try to get a win.
Look, you get 1 out of 3 in Philadelphia. That's going to be fine. win one of the games, that not playing today, obviously, play Saturday and Sunday with Bryce Wilson and Sean Newcomb. Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright, and then Sean Newcomb starts Monday in the home opener against the Cubs. Did you see what the Dodgers did yesterday? What? Look at Darryl. Like he's, you know, oh, Dodger heaven. Oh, my gosh. The Dodgers hit 8 home runs. 8 in one game to start the season. They're on pace for, let's do some math, 1,496.
Here we go with that.
1,396 home runs, something like that. I don't know. My math is bad. It's early. 8 home runs in opening day. Braves couldn't get – what was the combined total of feet they hit the ball in the first inning against Aaron Nola? 8? Golly. Oh, yeah, and it was just I know, Hugh, I just – it was like I'm screaming at the television for Ender to swing and, like, do simple
Reyes
things.
Hoskins hit the – was that him who hit the grand slam? Reyes Hoskins? Am I saying his name right? Hoskins. Hoskins.
That was Reese Hoskins' first grand slam?
Yeah, that was his first grand slam in his career.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, does it count if it's off Luke Jackson, or is it only
no,
count
it counts,
for 3?
It counts, John. It counts. That right there was
Luke
painful.
Jackson is like the woman that you expect.
Stop it.
You know, but he is.
Stop it.
I mean, because they are infatuated. And then,
yeah,
you know.
It was bad. It was bad yesterday. I mean, I cannot, coming on this station this morning and seeing the tweets that I would get was getting, like, there were some Braves fans that were really, really upset. There were some that were okay. They were like, you know, this is not the outing that you wanted, but there's still a lot of baseball left to be played. It is. It is. And I will say this. Out of all the negative that happened yesterday, there were some positives you could take out of it. I did like the aggressive base running of the Braves. I like that. I like the fact that they were being aggressive on the base pass. I do like that. I do like the fact that they're coming in with a little bit of different mentality. Mm-hmm. Didn't walk a whole lot of people yesterday either, because they gave up, you know, a couple home runs. Yeah, but still, I'm just saying, just trying to pull some positives.
Yeah, Rick Kranich says, pound the zone, don't walk anybody, but they get it up in the zone, and the next thing you know, it's out of the park, especially when the wind's blowing out to dead center, like it did yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and then you knew it was almost like you knew it was over when McCutchen comes up for his first at-bat as a Philadelphia
Phillies. Not that early.
And his first swing, he hits it out, and you're going, okay, man.
Not that early in the game, but I will say this. Watching that and being excited about opening day, John, to see that, the cuss words flew a little bit, because I'm just like, damn. I was just like, damn. You know, but that.
Pretty much that.
Yeah, that's it. But he settled down. And I'm pretty sure that this is what was bad about it. Because that was the tone setter for the whole day. That was the tone setter. The fans were in it. Bryce Harper came out there with his little Fanatic shoes on that were pretty dope. I got to admit, they're pretty dope. And that kind of set the day. But the good part about it is Bryce Harper wasn't the one that hurt you. You can look at it two ways. And this is the way I look at it. He wasn't the one that hurt you. Everybody else kind of was the ones that kind of got you. These are things that can be fixed, I believe.
Yeah, well, they better be. I mean, because otherwise, you know, I mean, people, we said, you know, going into the year, survive April. It's John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Braves get worked by the Philadelphia Phillies. 10-4 is the final count in the opening game.
Good buddy.
And we are, good call. we are asking you on our Twitter at 929 The Game this morning, a poll question. It's only one game, but, is it but the big word this morning? It's only one game, but we want to know, what your biggest concern was about the Braves opening day loss to the Phillies. Was it Julio Teheran? Was it Ender Inciarte? And was it the bullpen? And when we say, was it Ender Inciarte, it's not just about him individually. It is to some degree. It's more about, to me, it's more about, you know, we talk so much about this lineup and not having Acuña at the top of the lineup and how that changes. And the reason it changes everything, I understand the desire, Hugh. I understand the desire to put Ronald Acuña into a position, and it may work out great, into a position where, you know, he is going to be driving in lots and lots and lots of runs, but he is such a game changer for a pitcher like an Aaron Nola or somebody when he's leading off, because you can't. Aaron Nola goes right at Ender Inciarte and says, hit this. And Ender just stands there and looks at it. You do that to Ronald Acuña, he's going to hit it out. He changes the way you have to approach the team from the top of the lineup. And that's what we love. That's why the team took off when they put him in the leadoff spot last year, and that's why I don't understand why he's not in the leadoff spot this year.
Yeah, but John, you can make an argument that, like, really, he's the type of talent you really can't – you can't be mad wherever position you hit him in because he's a hitter, and you saw that yesterday. You saw him yesterday.
If you have another guy that can lead off.
Yes.
We don't.
One game.
Oh, well, yeah, but it's not with Ender, though. I mean, it's a body of work with Ender.
I hear what you're saying, but still – This is a situation. It's still really fluid. You're still trying to figure out. You're still playing with the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I give you that. Like, Ender might not be the answer, but you're still playing with the lineup. And I feel like you at least got to give him a couple more outings. You got to give him at least this series, and then maybe you start mixing up the lineup a little bit.
And we'll see. Maybe Ozzie Albies at the top or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Sweet 16 is half over. With Gonzaga, Purdue, Texas Tech, and Virginia winning yesterday, Tennessee is out. Yeah, we'll talk about that call. We'll do that a little bit later in the hour because I know a lot of Tennessee fans are mad about that call at the end of the Purdue game. Also, I just want to tell you that we'll be jumping in. These will be the two main topics, and we'll get into a little bit of football today. But the two main driving topics will be your reaction to the Braves, which you can react to on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. We're taking your texts, certainly our Twitter, at 929thegame. And we'll be taking your calls as well at 404-741-0929 in just a moment. I do want to say, before we get into our discussion about the Braves, and we're going to start it early this morning, and about the Sweet 16. So my in-laws are in, right?
All right.
Okay. And they're great people, and I love them. They're wonderful. They're great to have. My cats were freaking out that there were new people in the house. But aside from that, so they decided, the ladies decided, what are we going to do today, Friday, right? Why is it that when people come into town, Hugh, we have to have some, we have to go to Stone Mountain or we have to go to the World of Coke?
Because it's the touristy thing to do. That's what you do when you come to visit somebody's city. I had a friend of mine call me last night. Like, this is one of my best friends, Brandon Hayes. He's here in town, and he called me last night. And he was like, "Yo, man, I'm in town. Where we going to watch the game?" I said, "In my bed," because I don't feel that pressure. I mean, it's different for you because
they're in my house.
Yeah. Right? See, when you he knows me, so he knows that. Like, listen, I can't move around during the week because it's kind of hard to do. So I told him I'll catch up with him this weekend. But for you, John, that's your family. You have to do those things.
Yeah, but I mean, am I not entertaining enough? I have to spend a whole bunch of money going somewhere.
Yeah. See, man, you think alike when it's like that because you're going to be the one paying for the tickets.
Oh, of course.
You got to pay for the parking. You got to put gas in your car. But hey, it's the accommodating thing.
So the women decided that they want to drive an hour and go up to Ball Ground, Georgia, to a place called Gibbs Gardens.
Ball Ground, Georgia. What the heck is that?
Yeah, it's a little town up in the
What's
mountains.
Up there?
A place called Gibbs Gardens.
To do what?
You walk through the gardens. With the daffodils and everything.
Oh, that's going to be so cute. Take pictures, John. Take pictures.
All right, I'll send you one.
and put them on Instagram.
The Japanese garden.
No, put them on Twitter for we can daffodils. Laugh at you.
That's my day today. Yeah. How about yours? And then I get to settle back in and watch the basketball tonight. Good thing is, though, they're big basketball fans. Well, they are from Indiana. But they're not Purdue fans, so they are not happy. All right, your chance to react. We said we're going to have it all day long. Is it one game or is it panic time? For the Atlanta Braves. I'll tell you why there might be a reason to say it's not just one game.
92-9, the game. Hit shot, score!
Our Atlanta United are back in action.
As they kick off season 3.
Catch every game here, all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The pitch. Swing and a drive deep toward right field. Joyce, welcome to Atlanta. A pinch hit, two-run homer.
Jeff Carey on Fox Sports, one of the few highlights of an otherwise very forgettable opening day for the Atlanta Braves. And welcome back to the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. Well, maybe it's not forgettable. Maybe that's the problem. I mean, if it were a forgettable game, Hugh, we wouldn't be sitting around this morning having the reaction that we had. If it was just kind of a forgettable, okay, let's move on.
I look at it like this.
A 3-2 loss, and let's go on.
Well, yeah, but you got to – I look at it like this. That city was hype. Andrew McCutchen's first at-bat home run did not help the matter, did not help the situation at all because now you got that team juiced. They're juiced right now. And it was one of those things that, when Julio Teheran settled down, He looked better. He looked better. After that, he looked better. He started doing his thing, being aggressive, you know, throwing strikes or whatnot. But then we got to the bullpen. And then that's when the wheels really fell off the wagon. You thought that there was a chance. You know, it was one of those games where, like, I think even into the sixth inning, you felt – it felt like there was a chance. We don't know how much of a chance you had. But then when Rias Hoskins hit that grand slam, you kind of knew – kiss the baby.
Well, you know,
it was kiss the baby.
Tehran gave you five, struck out seven, only walked one. I mean,
threw a lot of pitches, too, though.
I mean, yes, he did. I mean, he got touched up a little bit. But, you know, I mean, you got to, you know, you took a lot of walks from Arenola. You just got no offense at the right time. But that's really not the issue. The issue is that's why we have two polls going on 92andthegame.com right now. One is about what's the biggest concern from opening day? Julio Tehran, in other words, starting pitching. Ender Inciarte, in other words, the batting order,
yeah,
or the bullpen, and guess which one is winning by a mile?
Relief pitching.
Uh-huh, of course. And Luke Jackson, it's like, you know, at some point, they're going to get rid of Luke Jackson. And you're going to go, really? It took you that long? I mean, Luke Jackson is so frustrating because what will happen is they'll get rid of him, and he'll go somewhere else, and will
that's
be
why,
that guy.
And that's why you can't, like, for me, especially with baseball, especially because we have 161 games left. This is not, I'll be the first to tell you, this is not the outing that you want, especially when we've been sitting here all month long talking about what they didn't do and how they're probably potentially looking at it, and then for you to go out in your bullpen to be the Achilles heel. I'm with you, John. I'm with you.
You say there's 161 games left. To hear it on Twitter, we're going to be mathematically eliminated by tomorrow night.
Yeah, I understand that because people are upset because it – number one, you have Craig Kimbrell sitting out there.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know if Craig Kimbrell.
Well, it wouldn't have made any difference yesterday.
Of course. It wouldn't have made a difference because
it wasn't a closer situation.
It wasn't. So it wouldn't have made a difference yesterday. But that's how people are looking at it. And, again, it's only one game. You could probably even factor in some, you know, first game jitters. Maybe people were nervous. Who knows? But it's still a lot more baseball left to be played. And I'm pretty sure you're going to go back. The worst feeling in the world is to go out and lay a big old turd like you laid yesterday,
mm-hmm,
and have to watch that film. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. Especially if
I'd
you're the guy.
I'd burn that damn film. I wouldn't watch it.
But you got to watch it. No, you got to watch it because you got to learn from it. You watch that film, and you look at all your mistakes, and you got to improve on that, man. You got to play better.
Here's the team meeting today. Guys, we're going to go out, same lineup as the opening game tomorrow night. Ender, swing the damn bat, okay? You guys in the bullpen.
Got caught looking a few times. Yeah, got caught looking.
You guys in the bullpen, pretend like you're professional pitchers, okay? Just fake it.
Not like that, John. Not like that. That's kind of one of those ways to talk to people that hurts their feelings. You know, you already feel like trash. You don't need to pile on.
You never had a boss to talk to you like that?
Oh, I had a coach to talk. But see, I'm okay with that. That doesn't bother me.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking that, you know, we're dealing with a lot of millennials. They might not be. You can't talk to folks like that anymore. So you have to be nice in your delivery. You got to start, like they say in the meetings, you got to start out with the positive first. Hey, you held the bat well. You held it back. Now, hey, but this is what we got to do now.
Your walk up to the plate was
Yeah, listen, your music that you came in on was really nice. The way you held the bat was awesome. Now.
Your shoes are nice, but not as nice as Harper's, but they're nice.
No, don't do that. That's not being positive reinforcing. And then you say, how about next time? How about this Saturday?
Uh-huh.
We actually take the bat off our shoulders and at least attempt to hit it. Now, if you don't hit it, that's okay because we'll work on that too. But at least swing the bat. That's how you got to start out, man. And plus, it's only the second game out. And I'm pretty sure Ender feels bad about that, too. So, yeah. Made a great play in the outfield, though, a couple times, though, to save the home run.
A lot of good that did us. You know, your biggest concern about the Braves, that's one poll on 90-10. We have two polls this morning on the Braves. And the second one is the one I posted up that we've retweeted. So, Braves fans, freak it out or just relax. You say it's only one game or already panic time. Okay. And you know what? I'm going to take the already panic time side for just a moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the already panic time is that, well, Brian Snicker talked about the bullpen after the game, right? And so let's hear from Brian talking about, you know, the fact that he was talking about the bullpen and what happened with the bullpen. Let's see some of these numbers here. And we had, of course, you know, Luke Jackson gave up the grand slam. I mean, Parsons only pitched one third of an inning yet because Carl came in, he got rocked. Then Parsons came in and he got, about 10 pitches in. And this is what Brian Snicker said about the bullpen.
You get in a situation like that where you feel pretty good if we're down three, mm-hmm. you know, and we just couldn't stop the bleeding there. It's situations where that part of the bullpen is going to have to come in and give us a crack at it, and we couldn't do it today.
Okay, I get it. All right, fine. I get that. I mean, but come on. Stop with it. Which part of Shane Carl, I mean, Wes Parsons only got a little taste of it, and Max Fried was just, he's not going to be pitching because of off days and whatnot, so you're going to get him out there and trot him out. It's 10-4. He's not in the bullpen. That was just to get Max Fried a little bit of work. But between guys like Luke Jackson and Shane Carl, what makes you think they're going to change? Tell me, explain this to me. What makes you think they're going to change? I know you like their stuff. I understand you like their stuff. But Rick Kranitz, you were supposed to help us, weren't you? You were supposed to fix this.
See, John, come on now. It's one game.
And it's the same bloody thing that we had last year.
But like some guys, it takes them a while to get comfortable with something that they're learning new. I mean,
did we have 6 weeks of spring training for that?
Yes, but this is it's different when you're in a live fire situation. I can remember going through a training camp. Say I'm working on a pass rush move, and it's working for me in training camp. It's working for me in preseason, but when I get in the game and I try it, I'm getting stymied. I can't scrap everything that I've learned. You got to kind of stick with it just a little bit.
Stick with what, the bull? Because the book is not good.
You can't abandon it just yet. Now, this is not the outing that we wanted. It's not. And I'm not about to sit up here and pretend like everything's going to be okay. But it's only one game. You can't abandon the philosophy or the format just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, second game, if it's still some of the same things, I'm not gonna lie.
Wait,
I'm gonna
get a little. You think this is gonna get better? God love you.
It is. It's going. It has to get better. Can't get no worse. Cannot get any worse.
What the book? Yep.
Yeah, we can't. It can't get any worse.
Come on now.
It has to be. It has to get better, Johnny. You have to believe that.
No, I can't believe that. If it's gonna be Shane Carl, Luke Jackson,
but you can't abandon it the first time out. You know what I mean? Everything that you work for, you can't abandon it. Just like Julio Teheran, gave that first running, that first home run, first pitch. He settled down and he was okay. He was okay. This is the first look that we had of our middle relief. Didn't look great. Did not look great at all. Got to get better. You have to get better. You have to get better. Ender Inciarte, hey, great defense. You got to get the bat off your shoulders, bro.
Well, considering that Pache is down there and the way he tore it up.
John, hold up, John. You bringing folks up already. Good googly moogly. wait a minute.
I told you I was going to take the side of already panic time. I'm taking the already. Look, I ask you the question, so Braves fans, freak it out or just relax. That's the poll that's up at our place. And it's only one game. You're taking this only one. No, don't, but Hugh, it's okay. Stay with it.
No,
it's only, it's only one game, and I'm already freaking out.
But I will say this. If we get back home and it's not looking good, it's going to be real uncomfortable coming on this radio station trying to peddle those wares. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, and we're also asking about, is it Julio Teheran? Is it Ender Inciarte? Is it the bull? You know, I mean, so that's another poll that we've got up there. Your chance to react throughout the day. So when we get into it, and we're going to launch deep into it throughout the show, we'll be taking your calls, getting your reaction on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I understand that it's only one game. I'm just taking the side of the fans that say it's already panic time because I think their voice needs to be heard. Now, they can speak for themselves a little bit later on.
Oh, no, they're speaking to me right now.
Yeah, I know.
They light my Twitter up. Light me up.
And that's why we're asking you. And so I'm just giving you both sides of that. I mean, if we both came in here and went, imagine this today. Both you and I said, it's only one game. Don't worry about it. Well, Hugh, what'd you have for dinner last night? You know, come on.
A little bit crumb.
So I'm going to take the side of already panic time because there are points to be made. I don't think it's panic time. It is just one game, but there are points to be made. Right? We're going to check in on the Sweet 16, update you on where we stand after last night's game. Was that a foul on Tennessee? Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's the state of Atlanta sports fans. You want the Braves to win, you want United to win, and you want the Hawks to stop winning. Duke Sabel had a couple of minutes with Lloyd Pierce to talk about the state of the Hawks ahead of the game tonight against Portland, and this is that interview.
I saw a quote from you, and I want you to expand on this if you could. I find it interesting. You said an official came up to you recently in a game and said, "Your guys really look like they're enjoying themselves. Your staff's doing an unbelievable job." Is that the environment that you've created now with our Atlanta Hawks, or is this just a function of having a bunch of young guys just going out and not really caring about what's going on?
I would like to think it's a bit of both. I think my staff has done an unbelievable job of just making our work atmosphere an enjoyable place, but also a place where the guys respect the work they're putting in, and they appreciate the fact that because of that work, they're able to get better. We have an unbelievable facility here at the Emory Healthcare, and the guys enjoy coming to work every day, and we're seeing results. And so if you see results and you feel like you're getting better and you got a staff that promotes that, I think that's the reflection, is the attitude, the chemistry the guys have. And so it was a good compliment. You don't really get compliments like that from an official during a game, but I think our guys really enjoy being around each other.
Our first chance to talk to Coach Lloyd Pierce in a long time here on Dukes and Bell, as he's coaching, you could argue, Carl, the world's most exciting 21-game under 500 team. Because, Coach, style makes the fight, and it just seems like teams getting better and better. And we know that, yes, this is a turnaround, but this it seems like things are way ahead of schedule, especially with Trey and John Collins.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work still left for all of our guys, but you're encouraged by a 20-year-old point guard that's played every single game and started every single game to his career on pace to, you know, break as many rookie records as you can, whether they're assists or double-doubles or 30-point, 10-assist games. So you're encouraged by that. And John, who's a second-year player, you know, is close to a 20-and-10 average, makes a tremendous jump, should be in the conversation for most improved player. So you're encouraged. I think we're all encouraged by what we see this early in this, you know, transformation of an organization. We got a lot of young guys that we're relying on. They're all in their first and second years. But we've also provided a lot of leadership with some veteran guys and Dwayne Dedmon and Ken Bazemore and Vince Carter. To really balance out the roster and balance out the locker room. So there's a lot of excitement that we feel, but I think hopefully a lot of fans feel as well.
Well, they're certainly going to feel that too. Lloyd Pierce with Dukes and Bell for a couple of minutes yesterday when the draft comes up, you know, in June, because, you know, the Hawks could have two picks, but they might be in danger of kind of making it hard on themselves because they have to stop winning. Dallas is out there tanking. There's seven games to go, Hugh. Tonight against Portland at State Farm, the Hawks going for their fourth win in a row. Suddenly, they're only two games ahead of Dallas, and Dallas is doing whatever it can to get as many ping pong balls as it can to be in the top five.
Yeah, but I'd like the way that this young team is playing right now, John, and I think that the experience that they're getting on the court and some of the wins that they've gotten against teams where we looked at this as a tough stretch, and they've done pretty good for themselves. We looked at it because we were talking about the murderer's row, and we were talking about how the ping pong balls probably work out in their favor. We were talking about what was the Phillies. And who else did they play a couple nights ago? Was it Utah? And the way that they played against them, you're looking at it and you're like, hey, man, you really can't be mad about what you're seeing on the court because you're seeing growth. And I don't have a problem with that. Now, I know that for us, ping pong balls are huge. That's a huge gift for us. But at the same time, you're trying to balance that against a young team that's playing well. I'll take the young team that's playing well and growing on the court with seven games left over ping pong balls any day.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but
I'm trying
to think here. I don't disagree with the idea of this team being good and young and fun, and what Dukes and Bell said about, you know, hey, you're the best, most intriguing 21-game under 500 team in the NBA. I get all that. I also know I want more. I want two picks.
Can I just help you out with this?
Okay.
Get the fact – you're not getting Zion Williams, John.
No, I didn't say Zion
Williams. No, I'm just
saying. I'm saying
Dallas's pick. I know you're probably not, but you're not. Get that out your mind.
I know, but I want Dallas's pick, and Dallas is tanking hard.
I understand that. You do, but
– this is why, by the way, Trae Young ought to be Rookie of the Year if you're going to tank with Luka Doncic. All right, that's another – sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. But
Daryl just put his hands on his head.
You made me forget what I was about to say. But I would say this. I think that – I have confidence in wherever they're picking that Lloyd Pierce and Travis Link are going to get the right guy that fits what they're trying to accomplish. I just believe that. Because look at how all the young pieces are fitting together now in a short period of time. So I'm okay with potentially losing that top tier pick from the Dallas Mavericks and getting somebody that's going to fit. Now, I understand from your perspective what you're looking at. You're looking at having more pieces and getting there faster. I'm happy with having that one perfect piece. Now, I know ain't no such thing as a perfect piece in basketball, but that one piece that you look at and be like, okay, this is the guy that's going to fit what we're trying to do. I have full confidence that they're going to be able to find that guy. And with whomever that young man is, he's going to come in and he's going to fit the culture of what the Hawks are trying to do. I just believe that.
I'll make no mistake. I have full faith and credit. This is one of the things about the Hawks. Their ownership group, led by Tony Ressler and his wife, Jamie Gertz, those two, down to Travis Schlenk, the general manager, and to Lloyd Pierce. The Hawks have the right people in place, and that's evident by the way they played this year. It's evident by who Travis Schlenk has managed to draft. I mean, when you have back-to-back number 19 draft picks, and those number 19 turn out to be John Collins and Kevin Huerter, I mean, John Collins, in retrospect, John Collins is close to a top five pick, okay? I mean, so in terms of his impact, and he was picked 19th. And then a guy who, by the way, you probably didn't know this, when he was at Wake Forest, you know how many three-pointers John Collins attempted in his college career? Wake Forest, one, and he missed it. Now look at him.
Yeah, but, John, that I think that's also a product of getting the right people to fit your system. Now, you're talking about – now, that remains to be seen because there's still a lot of growth left in these young men, and I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody. But when you have the right mixture and the right cast of characters – they work well together.
Mm-hmm.
You say like, for instance, like Draymond Green, you can say that, him, and how he fits with the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, might not have the same kind of contribution if he went somewhere else. You know, so that's something that remains to be seen. But I think that when you have the right mix of guys and they're in the right system, they play well together, and I think that's what they're trying to build here, and that's why I'm not concerned about Dallas's pick. I just want them to go out and pick the right guy that's going to fit the system that they're trying to implement.
And I
here.
Have full faith and credit they're going to do that. I just like to have two of those guys. That's all.
No, I get it. I get it. I get it.
No problem with it. I just want two. Why have one when you could have two? You're not going to believe what NFL.com says. Which team NFL.com says is the Saints' rival? I swear, you're not going to believe it. Who the Swampers' rival is. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.